Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now that's our phone line. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. Streaming online, go to 929thegame.com. Catch us live, replays of all the shows, interviews, breaking sports news, best moments. It's all there on a new improved website at 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app. Put the app on your phone, your tablet, whatever device that you got, your boombox, your Sega Genesis, turntable, laser disc player, I don't care. Just put it on something. That way you can always catch us on the go live. That's how I listen to the radio a lot when I'm in the morning moving around. It's on my tablet or walking around. I got it on my phone. So it's all there for you, radio.com app. All of our social media, it's at 929thegame, at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow, favor, like, sign up, whatever. Interact, do whatever you got to do. It's all at 929thegame. The best way, as always, if you want to interact with this particular show, do it through my Twitter account. That is at JMCH316, at JMCH316. All your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Jarvis in the house. He's producing, hanging out tonight. Brown Liquor Music Hour coming up in 2 hours. We already knocked out 1 hour of the show, so only a couple more hours to go, and then we'll get into Brown Liquor Music Hour. He is at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90, to follow us and interact with us as well. Coming up at 8:20, Kurt Heelan from NBCSports.com will break down the NBA draft, plus some NBA, you know, news and notes going around with the Lakers and Toronto and Golden State and everybody else. The NBA title just changed hands like, you know, a week ago, not even, and there's been like 4,000 moves already being made out there. So it's been a really busy offseason thus far in the NBA. But switching over to Major League Baseball. So over the weekend, there was another incident involving umpires and a player. This involved Manny Machado, where he got into a spat after a disputed swinging strike that didn't look like a strike, and he was called out, and he threw his helmet down, threw the bat actually at the backstop, got into a face-to-face altercation. They say bumped him. Now, what's funny is that the Major League Baseball Umpires Association, they are on Twitter. They're a verified Twitter account, at MLBUA, okay? They put out a tweet where the statement read, Manny Machado received a one-game suspension for contact with an umpire over balls and strikes and violently, in all caps, throwing his bat against the backstop with absolutely no regard to anyone's safety. By the way, there's nobody around there. Violence in the workplace is not tolerated, and offenders are dealt with severely and even made examples of for the good of its employees as well as the company itself. Is this truly what MLB wants to teach our youth? That's the statement, and then they went full on. You ready for this? They went full on hashtag. Hashtag disappointed. Hashtag lead by example. Hashtag not appreciated. Hashtag violence. Hashtag temper tantrum. Hashtag inaction. Hashtag not tolerated. Hashtag make an example of. Hashtag one game suspension. Hashtag repeat offender. Hashtag nonsense. Hashtag MLBUA. And then they tagged at MLB, at the Padres, and at Buster Olney for some reason. They went full on. Well, as the kids like to say in today's world, they got ratioed for all that. They got 805 likes for it, 228 retweets, with 3,000 comments. They only have 7,258 followers to start with. They got 3,000 comments. That, folks, in the world of social media is called ratioing, when you put out a dumb tweet that nobody agrees with. And the relationship between players and umpires is getting worse, unlike any other sport. You don't see this. Look, do guys get upset at refs in the NBA? Do guys get upset at refs and umpires in the NFL? Yes, of course. Baseball's taking it to a whole new level because now it's not just the players that are combative. Now it's not just the managers that are combative. Now the umpires are fighting back. See the things that have gone on with A.J. Hinch. There's a whole bunch of videos out there that you can watch about umpires that are in the face and not taking crap. Right, wrong, or indifferent. You know, right, wrong, or indifferent about all that. But the relationship between players and umpires and managers in baseball is getting toxic. And I will tell you that I fully believe it's not going to be long that if it keeps up this trend, there will be a true physical altercation between player or manager and umpire. There's going to be some that comes to blows. And, you know, in the world of baseball, the thing is that you have a big contingent. We actually talked about this a few months ago. There's a lot of older umpires that are still in Major League Baseball because they're not going to move those guys out. And let's face it, in Major League Baseball, you don't have to do a lot of running. You know, it's not the same way in the NBA and NFL where you're running up and down the field. You know, in the playoffs, they put the extra umpires out there along the line, so you just stand on the line and call it. You don't have to go anywhere if you're the home plate umpire. And as long as you get out of the way if you're the second base umpire, then you're good. But it's not like you got to run around and do a whole lot of stuff. You know, you got umpires that basically can move around a little bit to make sure something is caught or not caught or that it hooked foul or fair or what have you. But by and large, it's not like umpires have to be in great shape. So there's this older contingent of old school, if you will, Major League Baseball umpires. And it's the Angel Hernandez and guys like that have been around for a long time. You know some of the names. You know, what they keep saying is, if you know an umpire's name, that's not a good thing. Right? That you're not supposed to know an umpire's name, especially a home plate umpire. You're not supposed to know who's the guy behind home plate with the chest protector and the mask and everything on. You're not supposed to know who that is. Now, I understand. They released the names of the umpires. I'm not dumb. What I'm saying is that the idea is that those guys are not supposed to be part of the action, but they've become. And it's not even like the old days where there was this respect. Even though Billy Martin and Tommy Lasorda and Earl Weaver and Sparky Anderson and Lou Piniella, you know, even those old school guys still had a respect for the umpires in the game. Yeah, they'd go nose to nose with the umpires. Yes, they'd kick dirt on them. But I think there was a different level of respect that those guys had. It's combative now. Because while the umpires may have yelled back at guys, now the umpires seem to be going out of their way to altercate with players and managers now. Like, they go looking for the issue. Now, that may, to some of you, that may be unfair to say that. But that's the way that, as I always tell you guys and gals, perception has the same effect as truth. If that's what's perceived, it might as well be true. Has the same effect. And I think that's part of what it is. It may not be every umpire every night is getting into it, but there's this perception that umpires are fighting back and that they are willing to take the fight to, and I say fight in air quotes, I'm not saying they want to take a physical fight. They want to take the fight to players because they feel like, especially the home plate umpires, you know, now they can throw you out for disputing a ball and strike. You can be gone. You don't have to say your piece. You can be gone. You got guys getting thrown out, looking the wrong way in the dugouts and stuff like that. There seems to be a definite difference in breakdown between Major League Baseball and what's going on with umpires in players and managers versus what we see in the NFL and NBA. There seems to be a more kind of toxic level of interaction that gets to be, where it gets a little bit more personal. And you have managers that want guys run out of the league. You know, there's managers that openly say Angel Hernandez should not be in Major League Baseball. Right? I mean, that's kind of where it's gotten to. Somebody needs to step in, the commissioner, really. I mean, needs to step in. Rob Manfred needs to step in and tone this down. Because there is going to come a point where, and I hate to say it this way, where the old white guy is going to tick off the wrong guy. He's going to tick off the wrong player, say the wrong thing to the wrong manager or player. He's going to say the wrong thing, and the old white guy is going to get it. And I don't mean a guy turns his hat around and yells and argues in your face. I mean a physical altercation. An umpire gets shoved. He gets punched. He gets pushed. It's going to be more like that. Watch the Machado thing. You know, those guys, they go at it. Watch the stuff with, what's his name, A.J. Hinch, the manager of the Astros earlier this year. They go at it. Umpires are telling them, you don't tell me what to do and all this kind of stuff. And I get asserting your authority. I don't want to mislead anybody and say that the umpires shouldn't have any authority. But there's a way to lead and there's a way to have authority without having to be, you need to sit down and I'm the omnipotent ruler of this field. That's how umpires come across. And again, I'll say this. I'll go back to what I just said. It doesn't matter if it really is that way or if they really feel that way. The perception right now is that's what it is. And if that's how managers and that's how players perceive it, they're taking it personal. And that's where it's gotten to. They perceive that these umpires feel like they have, I don't know, total autonomy. They have power. They can do what they want and all that. And while there is kernels of truth in a lot of that, it's the way the message is being handled out there. Rob Manfred needs to step in and make sure that it doesn't get worse. And by the way, the other funny part about that series was Nolan Arenado threw his bat and helmet and everything too. Nobody suspended him. Is he one of the guys that everybody likes, I guess? That's what people, and I hate to say it this way, that's what it's come to, Jarvis. By the way, if you look at the comments about it, people are like, somebody that looks like Manny Machado didn't get the benefit of the doubt the way that Nolan Arenado did. Now again, and I keep going back in this same well, but the perception and the truth. People are perceiving that's how these old white guy umpires are treating everybody. That may sound very unfair on the surface, and I can understand that. But that's what's becoming the perception of this. When you've only got 7,200 followers and you get 3,000 people that are responding, you got ratioed. And that's what the umpires got. All right, when we come back, Kurt Heelan going to join us from NBCSports.com as he breaks down the NBA draft. We look at free agency. Talk about the Hawks. It's all coming up next. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Chuck Reed with you here live on the night show on a Tuesday night as we're inching closer to NBA draft. It's already been a busy offseason, it feels like, in the NBA, and it's only just getting started. Out to the WadeFord.com hotline we go. Kurt Heelan is joining us. He's the lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Basketball Talk. Kurt, appreciate time, man. Thanks for jumping on with me tonight.
Oh, happy to do it. Yeah, you're right, by the way. It's been a crazy offseason. I mean, what did Toronto get, like 40 hours to enjoy their championship before the league moved on?
Oh, I don't even know if they got 40 hours. I think they got about 11 minutes, it seemed like. It was about all that they got. So, it's a crazy time, and, of course, the draft coming up Thursday. First question for you. You know, it seems like no matter what team, nobody's moving out of number one, I get that, but no matter what team, it almost seems like it's getting to be a fait accompli that it's going to be Zion, it's going to be Ja Morant, and then it feels like it's going to be R.J. Barrett. Is that how you're kind of seeing at least the first three picks of the draft going, almost no matter what teams we're picking?
Yes, absolutely. Look, I mean, Zion's obviously going to go number one because he's the potential franchise cornerstone. Grizzlies are not trading out of two. They need a point guard for the future. They're trying to move. In fact, don't be shocked if Mike Conley's a member of the Utah Jazz, or maybe the Indiana Pacers, but probably the Utah Jazz, either the night of the draft or just before, and they'll just give the keys to the car to Ja Morant, and he gets to drive it along with Jaren Jackson Jr. The Knicks, by the way, I mean, they've shopped that thing all over the place, and maybe something happens, but they seem to have settled in on just taking the third pick and taking R.J. Barrett, which, again, almost every team, one or two teams don't, but that I've heard from, but most every team and every scout I've ever talked to thinks, honestly, it's the drop from 3 to 4 is pretty steep. Like there's a tier there, and the guy on that tier is R.J. Barrett.
So, Kurt, let's talk locally here about the Atlanta Hawks, because they obviously are, you know, with 8, 10, 17, really in the driver's seat if they want to try to move. And I mean, we've heard the Knicks, and supposedly the Knicks have now reportedly have turned down that deal. We've heard the Pelicans at 4. We're here in Cleveland at 5. I mean, it seems like everybody that can be a dance partner with the Hawks is at least talking to them. What spot do you ultimately think the Hawks are trying to get themselves to?
It's a little hard to tell who they've got their eye on, but I think they'd love to get into the 4 spot, and I think the Pelicans might ultimately be amenable to that. They don't love who they're going to get at number 4 as a fit with the pieces they now have, you know, not just Zion, but everything they got in that trade. If just from the outside, a lot of teams have Jarrett Culver from Texas Tech having moved up to kind of the number 4 spot. It's usually him or Garland, the point guard, the kind of high-end, higher-risk point guard. You guys don't need a point guard.
No.
You put a set up at the top, right? But a wing, a really good wing, you're going to be able to get that at 4 or 5, where you might not be able to get that at, or not get as good a one at 8 or 9, so, or 8 or 10. So I think they'd love to move up, and I'm guessing it's going to be Culver, or that's the target. And then, you know, because then you get some balance. You get a guy on the wing who can shoot and defend as long and just, you know, look, I don't know that he's going to be a future 12-time All-Star, but there's something there who you can build with to go with Collins and Trey.
Kurt Helan joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. Let's say the Hawks do add two top 10 picks in this year's draft, and you pair that. Let's just say at least one of those guys, you know, is a first or second team NBA rookie type of player, maybe not Trae Young, but let's say at least pretty good. Maybe somewhere between Herter and what Trae Young was. But so with that, would that be enough? Do you think that they could be maybe a 7 or 8 seed in the Eastern Conference as a playoff team next year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that this is a team on the rise and coming up. And look, some things are going to have to go right. We're going to have to see how where's everybody? What chairs is everybody in when the music stops, you know, around mid-July? Because there's going to be a lot of shifting around. But that said, I mean, the East is top-heavy right now. There's 4, and if you want to throw Indiana in when they get a healthy, they get a healthy Victor Oladipo back, and they make a good move in the summer, and maybe they're better than Boston. But you've got, like, 5 lock teams, and I got questions about, I like Brooklyn, but can they, you know, we'll see what they do this summer and who they land and what have you. Like, I definitely think you can see them kind of climbing up, and that's just getting into the playoffs and getting that experience matters. I think to use an easy example, the fact that Marc Gasol with Memphis and Kyle Lowry with Toronto all those years and, you know, Danny Green obviously with the Spurs, but their role players, not just their stars, but their role players had deep playoff experience, helped them a lot in the finals because they weren't fazed by the moment. They weren't taken aback by it. And your first time through the playoffs is often, you know, it's a little overwhelming for players.
Kurt, I'm curious as to your thoughts about the Lakers in the sense that were they always going to be all in this year, or has all of the chaos that their front office has had almost kind of forced their hand to have to do something drastic to, you know, make the on-court product that much better?
I think what forced their hand more than the chaos and the look, I will just tell you, I'm based in L.A. That is a front office and a organization desperately looking to validate that they're not what everybody says they are in terms of dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the bigger pressure on them is the fact that in December, LeBron James turns 35. Like, there's just, you brought in LeBron to go, you know, look, you're the Lakers. You go get stars. You build, you're one of the handful of franchises that can build that way. They went out and did that, and now they've got to put it, you know, now they've got their 2 stars, and we'll see what they put around it. But there is a lot of pressure, and they had to give up a lot. They had to give up whatever it took to get Anthony Davis because the free agents weren't coming. Kawhi is not coming. Klay Thompson's not leaving the Bay Area. Kevin Durant all but said this year he would not play for the Warriors. You know, I mean, with LeBron in Los Angeles, he didn't want to be part of it. You know, with all due respect, I don't think they're getting Jimmy Butler or Kemba Walker, but that's a whole tier down from the kind of guy they need. Anthony Davis was the only guy they were likely to get, and they kind of had to, they might have overpaid a little. This is the kind of thing where one of those picks in 5 years they may regret having given up, but that's the price.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Chuckery with you here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, being joined by Kurt Helan, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. So, you know, I when you look at Toronto, and they were a franchise that was close, and they had a couple of their guys and stuff, but they realized at some point that, okay, this isn't working, and we got to go a different direction. And obviously the Kawhi Leonard trade and bringing Marc Gasol, and it all works out. I kind of look at the New Orleans Pelicans because it's just a few years ago that, or a couple of years ago, I mean, that they had Anthony Davis and they had a healthy Boogie Cousins and they had Drew Holiday. Yep. And you thought, okay, maybe this could be one of the up-and-coming franchises. And now they've completely imploded. Do you think that what Toronto did in changing up, you know, the look of their coach and their roster and everything like that is going to start to trickle down to some of these other franchises?
A little bit. I think that you're seeing, and you might see this even a little bit this summer. You didn't see it with the Anthony Davis trade, but I think you see teams a little more willing to go for a risk of bringing in a guy. Oklahoma City did it with Paul George. Like, you know, all these people did was say, don't bother, don't bother, don't bother. He's going to L.A. He's going to L.A. until it came to, you know, until they went and got him. And he's like, hey, you know, I like it here. I like playing with Russell. Let's do this. So I think you're going to see more of that. I think you're going to see teams at a certain point willing to take a risk. But that was a really calculated... Look, Masai Ujiri is one of the smartest GMs out there, and it was a calculated risk because he knew that 2 or 3 years from now, regardless of what he did, they were going to have to rebuild. This thing was starting to wind down, and they weren't going to be any better than they were, really. They were going to be a 50-win team that maybe could make the conference finals, but they weren't really a contender. And ownership there would have been happy with that because they were making money. But he wanted it all and got it. You know, there was another move he had to make. And I think you'll see some GMs. It takes a very specific spot to be in, but I think that there are GMs who are going to look at that and say, and then look at what happened with the Celtics, by the way, on the other end, where they didn't go all in on Kawhi Leonard. They didn't go all in on Paul George and say, you know what? You got to pick your spots, but when you go, you've got to go. And I think there's some lessons there from that.
Kurt, let me ask you about the Toronto Raptors. Let's just, for hypothetical sake, say that Kawhi Leonard decides not to come back and play for Toronto. Right. So then what? I mean, you're the defending NBA champions, and you've got a glaring, gaping wound in your roster at that point. What do you do?
I think, honestly, by the trade deadline, it's all available. The plan was that if this didn't work, and honestly, I mean, let's be honest, if Kawhi Leonard doesn't get a really kind four bounces off the rim against mm-hmm. Philadelphia, that game goes to overtime, and they lose, and this whole thing feels a little bit differently, you know? Who knows? But that said, I really genuinely think that they would end it. But that was the plan all along. That if this didn't work out, they're restarting the rebuild a couple years early. They can trade Kyle Lowry while there's still some value for trading Kyle Lowry. And same with, you know, whoever else is on the roster at that point. And everybody with Pascal Siakam would basically, and OG Anunoby would be available. And then they'd start the rebuild, and I genuinely think that's what would happen. But it might not happen immediately this summer, but by the trade deadline, it's all on the table. They'd be rebuilding.
Kurt Helan joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. Last question for you, Kurt. So what does Golden State do from here? Obviously, they've got two guys that they want to max out, and everybody expects them to do that. But one guy might be available in March. One guy's not going to be available. They still have a tremendous amount of talent. But, you know, even Steve Kerr was joking about, can we take off a year and go to Italy and go drink some wine, you know, for a year? What do you think happens with the Warriors? Do they also try to bring anybody else in to stop gap, or will they just live with what they've got, have all their max guys, and just roll the dice with whatever happens?
I think it's more the latter. They're going to try to restock the bottom part of that roster, which they've done okay at, but not great, you know. The hard part of having that top-heavy roster is building out the bottom of it well. And, you know, look, Andre Iguodala was a great get, but he's getting older, and same with Sean Livingston, who hasn't decided, I think, if he's going to retire or come back yet. But even if he comes back, you know, he's kind of a shadow of what he was in the 2015 year. So they would just ride it out. I think, you know, even if Kevin Durant leaves, they don't really have the money to do much. They'll max out Clay. They'll ride this out for a year, try to bolster the depth of that team, and then come back in, you know, 2020-2021 season with everybody. You know, Clay, back to Clay, Draymond, Steph, and ideally a little more depth and some shooting around them, and see where it goes. But I don't. They'll live with it. They think they're They think even without Kevin Durant, and rightfully, they're right there, right? I mean, they're still one of the they're not the runaway prohibitive favorites, but they're top five easy, right? They're serious contenders.
Yep, absolutely. Follow him on Twitter at Basketball Talk. He's Kurt Helan, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com, and joined us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Appreciate all the information, Kurt. Thanks for jumping on with us, and we will talk to you down the road.
That was fun to do. Anytime.
And congratulations goes out to Muhammad out in Kennesaw. You won a pair of tickets to Big 3 basketball for July 7th at State Farm Arena. Ice Cube's Big 3 returns to Atlanta for its Season 3 opening night, July 7th, State Farm Arena. Big 3 is a fast-paced, physical, trash-talking summer basketball that features former NBA All-Stars and Hall of Fame coaches in an exciting half-court 3-on-3 format. Big 3 tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. And don't forget to join 92.9 The Game this coming Friday. You ready for this? Twin Peaks in Kennesaw is the location, as the midday show will be live from 10 to 2, and the Dukes and Bell show. Now, who's going to be on that Dukes and Bell? That's right. I'm going to be with Mike Bell. Oh, and Jarvis is going to be out there, too. 2 to 7 for that show. Stop by Twin Peaks in Kennesaw this Friday. Enjoy craveable man food like delicious burgers, wings, and sandwiches as the Twin Peaks girls serve you the coldest beer. Oh, I will be out there in full force. When we get back, it is time for What's Bugging Chuckery. These Vandy whistlers are being told to stop whistling at the College World Series. I say just throw them out because they're annoying. I'll give you that story next in What's Bugging Chuckery. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live from the Kia Studios. Back at it in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chuckery in the house, hanging out with you till 11 o'clock, 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Best way to interact, follow on Twitter at JMCH316. At JMCH316. Almost halfway done with you here. Lots to get into. Falcon flyover, that's life. Lots of stuff still to go in the show. About an hour and 18 minutes away. We're getting to some brown liquor music because tonight is our last night together. I will be with Mike Bell. Believe that or not, for the next 3 days. It'll be the first chance Mike Bell and I have. I've listened to Mike Bell since day one that he got in this town. I remember his first show. I remember when they were down at the Lodge in Buckhead. I was there for several of those shows with Steak and Bo and Mike Bell, Bo Bach. Hey, yump. I remember all that, mayhem in the PM. So I've listened to Mike since day one. This will be now a chance to get to work with him for a few days as Carl is going to take a much-needed and much-welcomed vacation. Speaking of not taking vacations, let's get to What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, as the College Baseball World Series just kind of rolls along as we roll along with the College World Series from Omaha. One of the storylines that's coming out has nothing to do with the actual baseball. So it's Vanderbilt. They had their game on Sunday. And there's these two guys that are known as the Vandy Whistlers, Jeff Pack and Preacher Franklin. Now, they're big fans of Vanderbilt and their baseball team. And they're at the World Series. But they're also famous because this is what they do during games.
Base hit, big guy, base hit. Boy Tyler, now you ready, big guy? Take him yourself now. Don't fool around with him.
Okay, so imagine two guys that are doing that the entire game. Well, the folks at the College World Series in TD Ameritrade Park have said that, told them if they don't start to quiet down because they're getting complaints from other people, that they're going to throw them out and eject them. And a spokesman said that for the TD Ameritrade Park, that fans can be ejected for excessive whistling at the College World Series. But they said they're going to keep whistling. Quote from Preacher Franklin. They can't throw me out for whistling for our Vanderbilt players like I always do. The phonetics of my voice have been enhanced out there. But the tournament employee said people around me were bothered by it, and people watching the game on TV were calling and complaining. He said, whistle like that one more time, and you're going to be thrown out of here. Now, an NCAA spokesman directed questions to the Omaha Metropolitan Entertainment and Convention Authority. Good Lord. Boy, does that sound like a lot of gobbledygook out there. But the guys have said that they are going to do it. Now, some Vanderbilt fans like this. A lot of people don't like it. Can you imagine 9 innings or whatever of that stuff going? Is it 9 innings or 7 innings in college baseball? 7 innings, isn't it? Yeah, 7 innings, I think, in college baseball. Can you imagine a whole game of listening to those guys doing that all the time? And every cheer they got, you know what? Just throw them out. I wouldn't even argue with these two goobers. God bless them for their fandom and all that. I get it. It's great. College World Series, cool event. I'd love to go to Omaha, watch College World Series. I'm all in. Okay? But enough already. Like, I can't, like, just even listening to that was 30 seconds of clip, and I wanted to jump out the window. I want to hit those guys with aluminum bats.
Base hit, big guy, base hit.
Ugh. Ugh. Just stop. That makes me want to, you know, go Warriors on them. And who was the gang that had the baseball bats? The Furies? Ugh. Enough. You know what? No more warnings. Throw them out. If they want to whistle like that all game long, do it in the parking lot. Go home. Go back to Nashville and do it from the comfort of your Barca lounger. And have a few beers along with it. So, memo to Preacher and what was the other one's name? Preacher and Pack. Let me get the right names here. I don't want to disrespect. Yeah. Memo to Jeff Pack and Preacher Franklin. Enough with the whistling. I get it's your shtick. You're not in Nashville anymore. I was going to say you're not in Kansas anymore, but you're pretty darn close in Omaha. You're not in Nashville anymore. Stop the whistling. Do it at home and just watch some baseball, and that's what's bugging Chuckery. 404. Why does it, you know what? Like, if I bought tickets to the College World Series, those would be the two guys they'd put me next to. You know that, right? Like, I'd literally be like 2 rows away from those guys, because that's how things work out for Chuckery, is that would be, I'd be right in that section, like 4 seats away from them, and have to listen to that. Nah, I'd be tired of that after an inning or two of that. I'd be tired of it. I again, appreciate their fandom. It's great that they're doing what they do. I get it. They're passionate. They're excited. I understand. And it's their shtick, right? And there are people that like that. It's sort of like, too, you've heard in Mississippi State football games, right? Like, after a while, that cowbell starts to get annoying, doesn't it? Like, the cowbell idea is cool, you know, a couple of times initially, but like 5 straight minutes of cowbell, and I want to start putting that cowbell in places where it won't ring. I want to shine it up real nice, turn that son of a buck sideways, and stick it straight into places where that thing will never ring, or if it does, it's so muffled that you won't be able to hear anything for that. But that's fandom, right? That's part of a fandom and college athletics and everything that goes along with it. So 404-741-0929 is our phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can interact with the show at JMCH316, at JMCH316. Keeping up to date with what the Braves have going on right now, and they are getting pummeled. Not a good start for Julio Teheran. I would tell you, unless Jacob deGrom breaks his arm, the idea of them coming back from 6 runs down, because it's 6-0 right now, the idea of them coming back from 6 runs down against the reigning Cy Young winner, who to this point has 4 strikeouts and 1 hit given up in 3 innings with no earned runs. Teheran's line, 4 innings, 8 hits, 6 earned runs, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts, and a homer. And Alonso hit a homer 426 feet. That's 24 homers Alonso has right now on the year. He's got, Pete Alonso right now has got 24 homers and 57 RBIs on the season. Is that good? Is that good for middle of June? I'd say so. Yeah, he's having a monster year and one of the few guys for the Mets that that you know gives him anything offensively. Conforto's done a little bit here and there, but they've gotten, you know, barely anything out of Cano. He's hitting .238 with a .289 on base and a .381 slugging. That's a .660, .670 OPS. Man, that stinks to high heaven. So I would not look for a 12-run outburst tonight from the Atlanta Braves because, you know, Jacob deGrom just, you know, he's been hit around a little bit and his ERA is a little bit high for him at .338. But, yeah, 6-run lead, I doubt very seriously that that they're going to get a whole lot. And it is the bottom of the fourth inning already. So, yeah, better if you're going to get to if you're going to get this going, you got to start putting a little bit of runs here and there. You got to start chipping away, and hopefully maybe you can get DeGrom out of it and you're only a few runs down. Maybe it's 6-3 that you're down instead of 6-0, and maybe you get a chance to go against their bullpen. And then Dansby just looks at a called third strike out there. So, yeah, DeGrom will probably have 10 strikeouts when all this is said and done. And that's been, you know, that's been one of the things about the Braves is that when they face the best of the best of the best for pitching, the Ryus and the Kershaws and DeGrom and guys like that and Zach Greinke, runs are few and far between. That's the kind of guys you got to figure out because that's the kind of guys you're going to see when you get in the playoffs against the good teams. All right, he hate me. Remember him? Well, he's been missing for a few days. There is an update to the story. We'll loop everything together into one tightly wrapped bow when we get back. Not Bo Morgan, but one bow. Chuck Green, the Kia Studio, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.